stone. Coming, we'll be foot. And with the button, I foot. The ball. Well dropped. Drop! want you to survive. And that is why I am here on this very late Friday night. Tonight's show is a very special show to me. Very special indeed. For I have two guests on this evening's show who are founding members of Survival North. These two men that I am about to introduce to you, these men you know and love, these men are men among men. Is a preparation that comes before a cataclysm. Don't wait after cataclysm. You can just come over to someone's fallout shelter and get in. If you are not prepared, you will not survive. I would like to take this opportunity now to introduce these two very special guests. I would like to introduce and Gullion. Good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to Survival.
Good evening, Trevor. It's a pleasure to be back. Let me just say that right off the bat. It's a true honor to meet and sit with you again. I brought a little present for you. As a matter of fact, it's a small mini pipe bomb.
Ooh.
You can use that as a paperweight, or you can use that to blow up you if you drop the bastard.
Isn't that delightful, Lee? Thank you so much!
It's a highly charged mini pipe bomb. Thank you.
Isn't that beautiful? It is a pleasure to have you back as well. How have you been, Lee Gullion?
I went to a copy of my latest book, Northern Survival. Yes, it is, Trevor. Offered by myself, over the past 4 years of this survival hiatus, I found time to put 10 to end. And here we go.
Look at this book. This is available in most stores. I'll take it. This is Eden Gullion's book, Northern Survival. Which is a manual. A manual for surviving cataclysm. I think specifically this person, perhaps the Eskimo.
Yes, Eskimos, but most specifically for that, it is a guide for surviving in the bunker in post-cataclysmic world. Not if you're Eskimo, that's good for you. You know, I'm not knocking the Eskimo, but Eskimo and you're in a bunker, so that book's for you. But if you're not an Eskimo and you're in a bunker, so that book is for you as well. It's it doesn't matter if you're an Eskimo.
Survival by
Steve Gullion. Well, you'll notice that I didn't put my address or my bomb on the cover of that book. That is our secret between you and me, Trevor, and not the V-Wing
audience. That's right. That is so correct, Steve Gullion. You cannot reveal the address to your fall shelter at any cost. None whatsoever. Absolutely none. Be quiet. If people know where your fallout shelter is, after the bomb drops, they can come scratching and knocking at your fallout shelter door. And those people will want in. And most likely, those people will have been to the mill. Stop, Wider!
I think Steve makes a pretty good point there, Trevor, and I read the book, Northern Survival, and as a matter of fact, if you do live in southern climes, I think that even some of that information is applicable as well. Take the idea of putting a dress or a sign on your bomb shelter or your forward shelter. If you do that, you're a big deal. I think that's kind of step one of your sleep. Whether you live in the northern or the southern climes, you should not, you should just not give your address.
Yeah, chapter one, trust no one, that's correct. Anonymity is the most important aspect of survival in the post-pandemic war. Although, trusting nobody is sort of a problem in the post-pandemic war that we live in as well.
Absolutely, I think that's true. Yeah, one thing that you brought up earlier, Trevor, during that stunning opening, is the fact that people try to get themselves a bit active, active. You're hoping that after cataclysm, perhaps they're working towards the truth. And I've had people come up to me and say, look, Reed, is it possible that after cataclysm, like more than 6, maybe 6 months? What? Because at that point, 6 months are going to be about 4 feet long with razor sharp spines running the tender flesh and suck the blood. Now, a little trick that we're going to do, what we need is armor. Less and less and less expensive, no arms, and laser and expensive.
That's right! They have music! Disgusting!
We can't help you like this, but we are disgusting.
When you get in contact with people who come up to me and say, audio is going to be used. I don't know. How do I know? There's going to be radioactivity. And what does radioactivity bring? That's right, music. Like you said, there's going to be some benefits for communications. There's going to be giant piercings, beautiful colors, beautiful plants. But you got to watch out for those animal music, I think, especially because they are going to suck your brains out with claws and something, and they're tearing your flesh and not your bones.
That's right! Because music, all they want to do is kill you and get you and steal your freeze-dried food!
Absolutely. If that's what these guys do, it's probably going to be the most important thing on Newton's mind. Someone who's got the ship on the ground, Lord of
Survival. Now, it's very interesting that we're talking about what? Because if you know, Lord of Survival is pinned by none other than Steve Goliath. However, there's a lot of propaganda. There's a lot of people out there who say, after the big one drops, there will be nothing left. Absolutely nothing. Well, these people are wrong. Because after capitalism, there will be music. But if you are prepared, you will survive. You will. And if you survive, you must be prepared to continue surviving. Because there will be music. But a lot of people don't believe this. In fact, there are a lot of people out there who write books like this one. Take a look at this book. This book is entitled Mutant. Now, you might think that this is a handbook for surviving cataclysm. It is not. This is milk-sucked whiner propaganda. The book is called Mutant. And it is described this way. It says, the big blow-up left huge radioactive scars that grazed the cities all over the face of the earth. In time, when some of the women who had been near these stunned areas, the first curly hairless babies began to be born.
Sounds accurate so far, brother.
Well, accurate so far! Accurate so far as mutations go! But then, it says that this book is a shadow of the mutant struggle for survival and the mutant's desperate search to find a safe means to survive so that humans and mutants can live peacefully, side by side.
Whoa.
That is not an inevitability. Mutants and human beings cannot live side by side. Now, I would like to show all of you out there what a mutant might look like. Reed Manning has prepared a map which gives a fairly accurate representation, I think, of what a mutant will look like. Reed!
Oh, my. description of what a mutant would look like after cataclysm. As you can tell, the mutant's head is filled with pus. His body is completely devoid of hair, and he disguised himself to get into your shelter. He's glued this bit of hair upon his head. Under no circumstances should you ever let anyone looking like this into your shelter. This means this person is a mutant.
Show me something, Reed! Yeah, a mutant came up to your fallout shelter door! What would you do?
Whatever, it depends on the circumstance, obviously. Perhaps I would sing around in my bomb shelter and let's say I'm eating dinner, perhaps. Now, if the wife and the kids are sitting around with me, I don't want to have the problem of noise. Because at this point, mutants are going to have a vocal speech that would shatter glass and debilitate you totally.
Can you give us some indication again how a mutant would possibly sound?
I think it would sound something like this. You can tell that's going to fight your teeth and it's going to push off your supper. So what I've devised is sort of a step-by-step process on how to kill a living silently using this simple device, a fork. Yes, you can kill a living with a fork by simply grabbing it and punching it in one of the pressure points on a mutant's body. You can debilitate it and kill it.
Now, I would think that one of the best pressure points would be in the mutant's eyes, if he had some.
Eyes and pus sacs are possibly the best points and best place you could go at a mutant with a fork.
I think the eyes would be best, because that's the closest and quickest way to the mutant's brain. Yep. And if you kill the brain, you kill the mutant.
That's absolutely true, Trevor. And the point is, with this fork, you can kill a mutant silently. Anybody can walk around with a fork and kill a mutant and make a lot of noise. But the trick is to do it silently so it's not going to scare your pets or your children.
I see. That is very, very good advice, Reed. And I thank you for that. Now, I would like to direct some attention to our other guests. Steve Gleason. Please, what is on your mind today? Do you have any wisdom or tales or advice to impart upon our viewers?
Well, Trevor, Weed Manning has, he has hit upon three or four of the most important points in survivalism. He says, kill the mutant, go for the brain. You kill the brain, you kill the mutant. You touch nobody, and you certainly do not reveal where your bomb shelter is. That's why I believe that a fork is one of the best utensils for killing mutants. So that's you don't have a loud report from a gun. A loud report, you can see the report, they know that there's a bomb shelter somewhere around there, because somebody has armament. Mutants won't have guns after cataclysm. And so you hear it, they're not going to know that the bomb shelter is around.
The thing is, please, that if you have a gun to kill the mutant with, it is so much more pleasurable!
Hey, don't get me wrong, Trevor. I am not saying that you should not arm yourself and arm yourself heavily against the mutant. And it's part one. In the fifth competition of the world, it is very, very important to get yourself a gun, a big gun. Anything that you can get within the pocket of your side on your gun.
Tell me something, Reed, because I know Reed is a big fan of guns. Do you have any favorite gun, any particular brand of gun, any type of gun that you would suggest to the people that they've got in their bomb shelter for after the big one drops?
Absolutely, sir. When it comes to combat weapon craft, I have one tip. So, the Viking and Gorky's and 5.56mm NATO with a battle rifle practice can be argued, but let it or not, we're stuck with it for the foreseeable future. By being a realist, I've planned my survival battery around this little bullet. And my favorite item shooter is the Galil. What were the gun funding here for high-tech rifles like the FA, the MAS, or the SETA AOG, but proving the signs when I incite that my vote. Israeli military industries make the Galil assault rifle, the AR, the Galil short assault rifle, ASR.
The design is basically a Kalashnikov. All prototypes that slightly longer and narrow and much higher pressure use design micro-caliber cartridge. The actual features need to capture vector characteristics, locating large locking bolts, whole carrier gas system, machine unit, and distinctive long fire selection safety level. The cockpit handle is being enlarged, I mean, with large range of width and 10 verticals to make it accessible to the hand. It can make this piece easier to handle on either side. The safety of the fire level is extended to the left side of the receiver, connecting the intake facility to be the right handed side. It's a little soft sight, so a leather shield with aperture and a hooded pulse back to 300 and flies on a unit. It gives a backup by building luminous sight. The combination that makes a effective unit to acquire the roof to grow the best light. Now all the duels come with the flat fighter that also serves as part of the bayonet mount, one of the strongest folding stuff left. This stock obviously was not designed for the civilian market, but it is surprisingly convenient for stuff you like behind a truck seat or in a car trunk. Additionally, the ARM, the assault rifle and light machine gun version, is equipped with a bipod good enough for field or combat position.
And you can gently go sticking Newton!
You can pepper her up and use it to make it look like Swiss cheese. I tell you, every feature of Gallo rifle is engineered to defend the building. If my test, Gallo ARM, the 5.56 radar, has proven to be the best 5.56 radar rifle I've ever used. And the fact that it works and shoots so well should come as well. Surprise, battlefield tests and refining the Middle East Desert Set. South African branch here. Central American jungle to Jamel is the first choice of all he uses.
And these are the jungle stocks today! Today! The source of our economic collapse today is upon us! Everywhere we look around us! We look to the third world! We look here! We look there! Everywhere we look! Across the world now, and this will all result in nuclear cataclysm. And when cataclysm comes, it will be the end of life as we now know it, but it will be the beginning of a new, brave, and terrifying world. And I want everyone out there to be prepared to survive this brave, new, and terrifying world. That is why I, Trevor Winthrop Baines, am here. That is why I and my guests, Steve Gulliott and Reed Manning, are here. We are here to help you survive after the bomb drops. Because when the bomb drops, there will be mutants. And I hope you people sitting at home in your comfy chairs don't sit there and look at me and think I'm crazy. Because I'm not crazy. I'm perfectly sane.
Oh, yeah, he's there again.
me. Preparation is the key to surviving. I want you out there to survive. Which is why we are here to provide the basis in survival. Could shed some light on pre-cataclysmic preparation.
First of all, I have to say that you'd have to be pretty stupid not to want to survive and live in that beautiful radiated Garden of Eden that we'll be living in after cataclysm. But it's only going to be that beautiful if you do prepare. A lot of people think they can take a couple of hundred gold cougar and throw it in a stock and they prepare. But let me tell you something, buddy. You can have all the gold in the world, but you can't eat it after cataclysm. And all that gold is not going to buy you freeze-dried wheat, freeze-dried ice cream, freeze-dried chips, freeze-dried pop, all the kind of freeze-dried foods that you need.
In order to survive!
Absolutely. To survive, you need plenty of freeze-dried food. And the fact is, if you're not prepared, you're not going to be happy because you're going to be covered in sores. You're going to be a mutant. You know, there's not enough time to prepare, and there's no use in putting it off. Whether it's stacking all your sandwiches and freeze-dried food directly on the shelf, hanging from the bottom, lightest on top, or whether it's putting that extra added touch, like camouflage curtains up on the makeshift windows, and it's all very important. The aesthetics are very important too. I think, you know, posters, like Smoking the Bandit posters, pictures of cancer cured women, those really add to a shelter, and they make a heck of a difference.
Because after cataclysm, you will be in your fallout shelter for a period of 5 years. That you be in your 5 years, because when the bomb drops,
the pair of a mutant is one pair that I want to do without, and that's why I've got steel reinforced doors on my shelter with a concrete abutment. I mean, this helps keep those unruly mutants away from my key spot and whatever sort of female companionship I might have within my shelter. And believe me, that's one thing to plan for. There's going to be a lot of women, you know, dealing with radiation business, and I think that it's important to get a hold of some females beforehand and get them secured in the shelter so they don't turn into mutants. No, no,
well, that's right, and they have to be trained in survival because we have to repopulate the earth after the big one drops, because we at Survival North want to be the new order. We will be the new breed.
Suggesting that what you put out there, take 100 gold to go and one half off and just get around what you want to do. I'll tell you, we, the John Children, have double reinforced steel for the door, as we all know. That's a good thing.
We did not install those complicated steel doors next week.
We did not install them a month from now. We did not install them a year from now. We installed them a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, because the bombs could go off at any time. The bombs could go off tonight. The bombs could go off tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, or next week, or even next month, or even the month after that.
You know, it reminds me of a parable. Actually, there was once an ant and a grasshopper, and all during the summer, this ant built a home and filled it full of freeze-dried food. And the grasshopper, does nothing, eh? He just, dances around and stuff. And then suddenly a bomb drops, and everything gets leveled, right? And this grasshopper turns into a fucking mutant. And it doesn't have any shelter and has no food. He knocks on the door of the ant and says, give me some freeze-dried food. And it says, no, you should have prepared. You should have had a shelter. And so the grasshopper just explodes a silver puck.
Well, that's very true, isn't it? Very true indeed. And so
story, please. You were about to say something.
No, I'm just saying that in a case like that, the ant is forced to blow the grasshopper's chicken head off. I mean, that's all he can do. Scratch that as the ant bumps open.
That's right, because mutants are not prepared. Mutants are people who did not believe that this would happen. Mutants are either milksop whiners. How I hate milksop whiners. They're all those people in the pre-cataclysmic world.
They love the crowd. They wanted to say, oh, I was in
cataclysm in the bottom. I don't want to survive. But when the bomb drops, they're the first ones to come knocking at your fallout shelter door.
To make cataclysm work for you. Okay, there's a certain amount of technology that Steve and I have got together on and worked on, and it's a proven fact that after cataclysm, after the big one drops, there's going to be plenty of cockroaches. Lots and lots of cockroaches. One of the few things are going to survive, and they're going to be big. They're going to be eliminated cockroaches. They're going to be inside your house. So what we've done is we've got here a method where you can take cockroaches and you can crush them up. And you see, we made an ashtray out of all these cockroaches. Now, the difficulty is the first 13 of Marco can be used for many purposes. Now, you can make substitutions for any sort of cockroaches as well, too. Like, you can create, it's almost sort of a metallic kind of material that you can get from the shells of these cockroaches. A lot of research went into it, and it's worked out really well for it. This is chapter 17 of Morning for the Army.
Which is the book written by Lee Science?
I'll tell you another thing, Paul. I want cataclysm. I can't wait for cataclysm. It's killing me waiting for cataclysm. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because the milksop whiner of today is a mutant of tomorrow. And the laws of today say that you can't shoot milksop whiner. But the law of the first cataclysmic world is the law of the M60 or the AK-47. And then you blow the chicken head off. And that's why I want cataclysm.
I want cataclysm too. I wish we'd make it fresh for that moment when that glorious bomb
drops. Well, it's gonna be no sit-off line. I don't want to push the button. I'll tell you that.
Because you'll be prepared to survive.
Well, you know, Steve brings up such a good point. I think it's such a good point. You know, all these people that are wanting to bring it, it's a foolhardy man, in my opinion, who does not want cataclysm. Does not want cataclysm. Because all the things that have you available to us, survivalists, and if you become a survivalist, you can have these beautiful things too. It's almost like the land of Oz. I'm stopping.
The land of Oz!
Well, the Hawaiian will be a beautiful hue, amber, colors, orange, and it's just going to be marvelous. Plus, you have the law of the 1847.
Ah, yes! The law of the sun! The law of the survivalist! The law of Trevor Winthrop!
And that might be like some cuteness used for like the Hudson or something like that. You used for the slave and used for like,
oh, cool. Like with your little kids or something. You said that they're not going to be being horrible fat like little babies.
Well, they're cute little things. Well,
I think it's like a little baby.
Yeah,
it's
cute. Yeah.
Well, that you can domesticate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or you can farm them for foodstuff. And then they farm little baby mutants with them. You could find a
I know exactly what you mean, because these baby mutants will look like cute, jelly-like little pasta, and they will be most delightful, but they can be crafty, they can be dangerous, and that is why they have to be domesticated, but the general mutants will be psychotic.
I will be roaming around in my mutant mutants, I will be grenading mutants, I will be shooting mutants, I will be shooting mutants, I will be shooting mutants.
I think that's where our sort of idea of natural selection through killing will come into play. We will have the opportunity to select naturally which meat we want to kill and kill it.
When the bomb drops, you can't trust anybody. You cannot trust your mother. You cannot trust your father. You cannot trust your children. You cannot trust anyone but yourself. Especially if all those other people did not want to survive and have become mutants. You might be roaming around in a post-cataclysmic world, and you might see someone walk up to you who looks like someone you once knew and loved, but that person is a mutant. You cannot trust that person because they are no longer a person. They have been rendered horribly mutated. They are now disgusting, slobbering, psychotic mutants. And there's only one thing you can do to them, and that is blow their stinking heads off.
You know, besides what we pointed out earlier, how mutants are going to look like, there have been some reports saying from survival stuff. You said a lot of mutants are going to end up looking like Lyle Wagner. So it's important that if you see someone looking a lot like Lyle Wagner or Harvey Korman, that you should have to start this mistake. Because you don't want to see either guy.
Well, no, because in the pre-cataclysmic world, there's enough social economic collapse. There's enough people in our world, and that is what cataclysm will be so beautiful, because it'll wipe the slate clean.
You know, it's a beautiful thought in my mind to think that this wonderful earth in the United States of cataclysm will be repopulated by hundreds and hundreds of little servants. It's a beautiful thought. Hundreds and 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 hundreds. Guide us to the wonder and the beauty which
will be his father's cousin.
Survivalism is the big word. Survivalism is being on your own and trusting nobody. You cannot even trust members of Survival North, actually, because within our ranks, we have often had traitors. Occasionally, we have had traitors in Survival North.
The Colonel Neal.
Well, yes, I'm referring to Colonel Neal.
That's how we name the name, so I said Colonel Neal.
Why do I refer to him, yes?
Colonel Neal.
Yes, because surviving capitalism means that we have to protect the self. You know that captain Colonel Neal was a traitor. Was he not, gentlemen?
I'd have to bet you 100% that Colonel Neal was indeed a traitor.
Can you please?
Oh, of course. I was there throughout the whole incident. Are you kidding?
You were there when Colonel Neal orchestrated that horrible kidnapping of me several years ago.
Yes, I was a member of Survival North at the time. As you know, I am a founding member, and Weed was there as well, as was Concerned Citizen Stan.
That's right! You cannot trust anyone! You cannot trust anyone! Because survivalism is being on your own!
No, so, I know I'm not supposed to trust you. Can't help it, I do trust you, and I find not to. Every day I find not to trust you more and more. But I can't help it, I trust you. I feel good and warm. I feel warm about you.
I have to agree wholeheartedly with Steve on that. There is, I don't know how you explain it, but an aura of trust about you, right? Especially when you open up those big chapters of yours and trust your teeth. I tell you, I can't help but feel a warm glow run up my spine.
I don't even trust my mother, my father, my kids, or nobody. I don't trust nobody. But I trust you. I can't believe that.
I want you out there to trust me!
No, Kevin. I'm sure there's people out there who trust you. I think that deep down inside, there's a lot of people who are watching this show and saying to their friends, they're laughing. They're laughing at you, Trevor, and they're saying, ha, 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 look at him. But deep down inside, these people are saying to themselves, you know, I'd like to be more like him. Pointing at you, Trevor, on the screen, internally, inside, psychically pointing at you and saying, I want to be like him, Trevor. I think that there's more people in this city, more people in this country, more people in this continent, in this world, possibly in this galaxy, that want to be exactly like you, that care to admit it. And I, for one, I'm going to say it right here, I am one of them. I want to be like you. More than anything in the world, I want to be like Trevor Winthrop Bane.
Thank you, Reed. I really appreciate that. And I hope you people out there appreciate that. Because I am here to help you, not hinder. I am here to help you along the path to the post-cataclysmic world. A world that is inevitable.
And Captain, when there's a giant six-headed snake gnawing on your leg and putting poisonous venom into your eyes, you're going to say, I wish to God I listened to Trevor Winthrop Bane.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you, both of you, Reed Manning, and you, of course, Reed Cullion. I want to thank both of you for coming down to the show. Do you have any quick parting words for the people out there?
Yes, sir, I do. I have one quick parting word, and that is be prepared. I think that says just about everything that has to be said. Because if you're not prepared, there's going to be some mutant walking around with your teeth in the necklace, drumming on a drum with the skin made from your own back, playing a flute made from your own tibia. And that's the kind of death music I don't want to hear played on my body.
And you, Steve, any parting words?
Well, what Weed says is exactly right. But I must emphasize again,
Be prepared, but be prepared now. Don't go get yourself a sign and start drawing peace now on the sign, because after the bombs drop, you're just going to be a big mutation of what you were earlier. Be prepared and do it now. Save your paint for paint inside your bomb shelter or something like that.
When I
paint the handle of your M60 or your AK-47 or something like that. Don't goof around with this peace stuff. Nonsense.
Thank you both for coming to the show. And I want you out there. I want you! Because I am Trevor Winthrop Payne! And I am your savior! I want you! I want you all! I want you all! To survive!